to What the Hex, your source for Warhammer Underworlds and under 30 sniveling sources for Seed Glory. I'm your host, Brian, and my lovely co-host today will be Skylar. How you doing, Skylar?
Howdy. I am scattering away.
All right. Excellent. So for context, we're in the midst of the Rivals of the Mirrored City and Zandara's Gravebreakers, Rhymelocked Relics content flood. So we're just going to be trucking along because you've probably heard a couple of these intros by now. So topic today, Zarbag's Gits, a warband that I started this game with back in Beastgrave. I typically in Warhammer played exclusively Chaos, and I feel that Josh and Skylar both gifted me the Gits and intentionally get squished goblins, but I don't think any of us understood quite what they were doing and quite how strong they could be in championship. So they are a warband that I grew to love, and I'm so excited to see them redone. So
seeing your reaction to this today is the thing I'm the most hyped for out of this box. Like, having started this game with you and Zarbag's Gits being, you know, that first warband for you, I'm so enthusiastic.
Yeah, neither of us have seen any of the new cards. So I'm curious what you remember from the old cards.
Oh, I mean, I had to fight them so much, so quite a bit. Yeah. I remember.
But I feel like the fighter cards, you'll know quite a bit. But how about their deck?
Oh my gosh, their deck? No. Yeah. I know two cards. Let me see. Is it just two? Yeah, it's probably just two. It's Infestation, infamously. And I hope there's some version of it in here where they hold all objectives for, what was it, 4 or 5 points?
I believe it was five.
Five. And then I killed you with the scatter from Snark. Enjoy. So whatever that card was called, I know you would surge into more glory. It would be like, I got a bounty and also get wrecked by a wrecking ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Infestation and Obliterated, yes. Was their surge for two for wrecking ball with Snark. Obliterated by far was my most used. Infestation was used for a niche period when Harrow Deep meant that everything was flipped over for the objectives, and just flipping one of them meant that you held all of them. That was a neat trick and earned them some ire for a little bit. But yeah, as fighters, what do you recall? What do you reckon may have changed? What are we anticipating here?
Ooh, great question. Okay,
but, so a note on the deck. It is precisely that reason that there are only two cards that you can recall is why I'm so excited they're getting redone. I also recall they had a Infaction Sidestep, which was always nice for helping getting onto objectives. And they had a couple other cards, but man, it was pretty rough pickings. There was one for like +1 defense, but it was only on the Squig Herder. And that's about it. Like, some extra bouncy was fun, but yeah, it was not great. They did have Mad Scurry, which was about making multiple actions on multiple fighters and doing...
And aptly named.
Yeah, doing the Scurry mechanic.
Yep, absolutely.
But as far as fighter cards, what do you anticipate?
Well, so the one thing that's always stood out to me about Zarbag's Gits, like, it's the first thing you notice, there's 9 of them. There's only 7 starting hexes. Mm-hmm. So that was always like, it was interesting being our first experiences with the game, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you were at a model count.
Already that, breaking a core rule.
Yep, exactly. And has not been seen again. They've never flexed above 7. And like, okay, there's only 7 starting hexes. So you're placing, you know, the herder and then the 2 squigs next to him.
Yeah, I don't expect that to change.
I don't expect that to change either. Loved that. Scurry. Had right. restrictions around, like,
you couldn't do it if you already had a move token.
Yeah, and like where fighters were placed, you had to end the scurry next to them or start it next to them. Which one was it?
You had to so when a fighter made a move action, if there was a goblin adjacent to them, then that goblin can scurry. So you can Congo line it, but you couldn't flip around that, like the Congo line had to go in sequence down the chain.
Yeah, that's the opposite of Kanan Reapers, where they have to end next to each other. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'd be curious if that has changed, because now with the charged out rule and being able to make multiple move actions, that I am really curious. I think it was pretty balanced as it was because it required setup. But with nine fighters, currently Swarm Warbands suffer a lot of bleed glory. They give up a lot of glory in the bounty. So I'm curious if that may have received a buff, which I would love, but we'll see. It was pretty good where it was because mainly it rewarded a good deployment.
And you know, one of the things I'm the most curious about from a change standpoint is Snurk, because you used to activate him as a reaction to any activation. And so you could use that for activation blocking at the time. And now, like, are they going to I think that that's kind of something that they might steer away from, that you kind of either start with those benefits and inspire into something different, or the inspire is harder. I don't know. We'll find out. But like, he was such an interesting menace.
I both fear and welcome a change to him. He's wholly unique fighter in that once he's flipped over, that's the only activation he can do, which is just spin around. And rolling four dice, picking three for a chain is so sometimes both players hate it. So I don't know. I welcome what we're going to see here. But ultimately, their greatest weakness is in their deck, and that I think can only go up from here.
Yeah. Hear, hear. All right. So let's get into it.
Yep.
Will you kick us off with Zarbag himself?
Zarbag the Git himself. Pulling up side by side. So 3 move, 2 dodge, 3 health. That stayed the same. Level 2 wizard, inspire mechanic, 3 and 3. Wow. Okay. So it was originally when the warband had 3 or more glory that they would inspire. They had an errata to make it 4, because if this warband can get easy seed glory, then suddenly they're inspired. They're a lot harder to take down because a lot of their defensive profiles go up to 2 dodge on a lot of the goblins, and they become a lot less susceptible to bleeding out that glory. And sometimes that could be a problem, which is why they got an errata. And that has been undone.
That's fascinating right out of the gate. I wonder if we'll see that consistently across the board, or if we'll have like sectioned off inspires.
Yeah, we'll see. As far as the attack profile, his Cursed Sickle stayed the same. Range 1, 3 sword, 2 damage. But he gained a spell attack, which is interesting because that was something he didn't have before, which limited him as a sorcerer in a lot of ways. So it's a range 3. It's going to be 2 focus for 1 damage. Mork's Evil Eye.
Looking at his like giant wide eye in the art. Yeah.
Well, no, imagine that physically has one bugging eye. It's great. All right. And the biggest question, Scurry. For context, the previous Scurry was after a friendly fighter other than a squig makes a move action. If that move began in an adjacent hex, this fighter makes a move action. They cannot do this if they have any move or charge tokens. That was the previous version. This new one, keyword I'm already seeing, uses after another friendly Grotz move action that began in a hex adjacent to this fighter. If this fighter has 1 or fewer move tokens change and no charge tokens, this fighter makes a move action. So they can do it multiple times now as long as they don't have 2 move tokens. And it's restricted to Grotz, which just kind of cuts out the squig verbiage there. This is a plus. This is great. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's largely unchanged, too.
Yeah, it is effectively the same, but it has more versatility that you can do it even if you already have a move, which is fantastic for a hold objective warband.
Agree.
On his inspired side, he gets the plus 1 move as he did before. 2 dodge, 3 health, still level 2 wizard. His Cursed Sickle gains cleave like it did before. And so no changes stat-wise. He just continues to have Mork's Evil Eye, which did gain Grievous. A Scurry reaction. also appears unchanged.
Yeah. I'm reading that as unchanged as well.
So basically, all right, his ranged attack gains Grievous on Inspire.
And the Cursed Sickle grabs that cleave.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not a massive change, but a good change.
Agreed. So. That's a solid start.
Yep. All right.
And
you want to cover Snurk then?
I so do. All right. Snurk Sour Tongue. So 3 move, 1 dodge, and 3 health. So notably different right out of the gate. He actually had 2 move before. Mm-hmm. So more incentive to inspire him before and start being able to skirt or scatter around. So Ball and Chain, also seen a buff here. Range 1, 2 Fury. It was previously 1 Fury. Again, mm-hmm. to give you incentive to get away from it. 3 damage. Now, that's not changed, but that is something I omitted entirely from my understanding of this character.
I know that I have made 1 successful Ball and Chain attack in my career with Gitz. 1 Fury, rolled a crit, got it, and then inspired him and obliterated his target. So super good.
My gosh.
Yeah. So
the inspire.
Yeah.
Is this fighter made 1 or more failed attack actions in the preceding activation?
God, that makes me so nervous.
So it's no longer after an activation, this fighter becomes inspired, which narratively means he threw it out and missed.
Yeah.
And is now caught up
in it. Now he's whirling. Yeah. That's phenomenal. That is so much more thematic with getting his whirly dirly, as I used to call it, going. That makes me so nervous. He needs that extra move in order to make it a viable swing.
All right. I'm gonna hit next. Let's see what he looks like inspired.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. So 0 move, 3 dodge, 3 health. Unchanged there.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's gained something called Spinning. This fighter cannot be on guard or make actions other than wreck.
Yeah, so this replaces a small little text box on his previous side that said effectively the same thing.
The action has been named wreck.
And it's still just as wordy as before.
Yeah, which probably needed to be. Scatter 4 from this fighter's hex and push this fighter 3 hexes along the chain. If you would push this fighter into an occupied hex, deal 1 damage to the other fighter, then push the fighter or the other fighter 1 hex further from this fighter, then resolve this fighter's push. If the other fighter cannot be pushed and or if this fighter cannot be pushed into a hex along the chain, deal 1 damage to this fighter and this action ends. So wording update for sure, but as far as function goes, I think that's the same as I always understood it to be. Yeah.
I was wondering if it was, because this one says further away. I checked if it was drive back previously. No, it's just further away. So,
which has always been the crazy part about it, because if you get caught up in the chain early, further away can be each step of the chain for the rest of the chain.
Yep.
And so that can be really nasty. Like, so he's
effectively the same and just as bad.
And I love it
in a good way.
Yeah. Excellent.
All right. Drizgut the Squid Herder. 3 move, 1 block, 3 health is the same. His Squig brand, range 1, 2 hammers, 2 damage, same. He has Scurry. He's got the same Glory Inspire. His action with the Squigs, Herd Squigs. Action, choose this fighter and up to 2 friendly squigs adjacent to this fighter that each have 1 or fewer move tokens and no charge tokens. The chosen fighters each make a move action. So it's the same as before, but with the added change to Scurry, where you can do it even if they have 1 or fewer move tokens. So again, an increase improvement.
I like it.
Yep. On his inspired side, he effectively does the same thing. His stats go up in the same way as previously. His squig brand gets really accurate with 3 hammers. His herd squigs at action. is the same. So no change from the previous iteration other than continuing on the herd squigs action in the same way.
And why change it? He was working great before. No need for change there.
So after Drizgit, I would like to just skip to the squigs rather than the grots.
Yeah. Why don't you cover those two? Because they are tied straight to him.
Yep.
Absolutely.
All right. So Bonecracker and just checking. Looks like Bonecracker and Gobluck have the same stats. So 3 move, 1 dodge, 2 health, same as before. Huge jaws, 1 range, 2 hammers, 2 damage, same as before. And their inspired side, a friendly Drizgit is out of action, same as before. And then their text describing how they're spawned. Cannot place this fighter in a starting hex during setup. After you place a friendly Drizgit in a starting hex during setup, you must immediately place this fighter in an empty hex that is not starting hex adjacent to that Drizgit. Same as before. They both have the beast and fly icon. So extra bouncy has just been added to them.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you noticing what is new?
Yeah.
Wing.
Yeah, that's the only change on their uninspired side. But extra bouncy, I'm guessing that card is gone. It previously allowed them to act as though flying during an activation.
These Red Bulls do have wings.
I recently heard them as tussle truffles for squigs. It's fantastic. On their inspired side, looking at Bonecracker here. 3 move, 2 dodge, 2 health, same as before, and their tech action gains cleave and an extra hammer for accuracy. So effectively no change, they retain the extra bouncy fly. So yeah, similar to Drizgit, just retaining the change from their uninspired side. And double checking Gobble.
I don't think I ever realized that they were the same in everything but name. Yep. And that remains the same.
Yep. It keeps it simple. One's bouncing, one's got a bone in its mouth. That's about it.
Agreed. All right. Which I guess is indicative of like the dogs too from Hexbane Hunters. Like I like when they're consistent like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It further reduces the need for which one is that? Is it down ghost or is it left ghost?
Or up ghost or right ghost?
Yeah.
All right. So next up is Prague Denetter. So he's, and I'm going to guess this is the same stat line as all the grots. I'm actually going to cheat real quick and take a look.
The other 3 grots should be identical. He's slightly different.
Well, so from a baseline, they're all starting at move 3, dodge 1, and 2 health. Yeah, the only one who's shielded is Drizgit, but that makes sense. He's the only one wearing armor.
Yep, and it doesn't look like they locked any of their inspire mechanics differently. They all the grots inspire when the warband has scored 3 or more glory.
Oh, thanks for checking that for me. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, so here we have a barbed net, range 3, 2 hammers, 1 damage. So that is different. That has become a ranged attack, was not previously. Like that a lot. And it has netter, or rather Prague has netter. Attack actions supported by this fighter have ensnare. I like that quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that means that we left barb net at home.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, if this attack action was successful, reduce the dice characteristic of the target's attack action by 1 to a minimum of 1 in the next activation. And you know what? That was a pretty mean ability.
It is, but it's only during the next activation. So the enemy has, or the opponent has to be using that fighter's attack action next.
Oh, sure.
So ultimately, that was pretty garbage.
Okay.
Now,
so this has more utility.
It is better on his inspired side because it would reduce the next activation's attack, or that fighter's attack dice by 2 during the next activation while he's inspired, which is that's a lot juicier. But again, you have to be really controlly in knowing that your opponent really wants to do that.
Now,
so this going up to range 3 instead, I think, is far more versatile, and netter is going to be far more relevant.
Yeah, it gives you more incentive to scurry him up to an enemy, too.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that's pretty cool. And then once inspired, that barbed net doesn't see a stat change, but does gain ensnare. Yeah. So I like that.
So he ensnares for himself now.
Yep. As well as move 4, dodge 1, health 2. Notably, dodge 1 instead of what they used to inspire up to, that dodge 2. Ooh, I wonder if that's going to be a theme. Maybe that's why they only need 3 to inspire, is because their dodge is going to be only at that 1 regardless. Ooh, yeah. Interesting.
So you have Zarbag, Sour Tongue, and Drizgit are the like more notable grots, and then you have the 3 archers and Progdonetta. These 4 goblins really relied on that extra defense. So these guys are definitely sitting in my backfield, but yeah, Drizgit and the Squigs are the front line for me.
I wonder if we'll see any +1 defenses in their deck.
Boy, I hope so. They need it. All right. So I think for the most part, I'm going to assume that these 3 archers all functionally act the same, but we're looking at Dibs first. He's got Grot and Shuda on his keywords, including Prog has Grot. So Dibs, 3 move. Yeah, like you said, their base stat line's the same. Grot both, range 3, 2 swords, 1 damage, same as before, same inspire. Give them a volley, lads. Action. Each friendly Shuda within 3 hexes of this fighter can make 1 Grot bow attack action.
What? Oh, dope.
Okay. So they previously had an upgrade that sort of did this, and it was like you had to put it on 1, and if he started a chain, then you could do a volley. Very niche, but this is great.
Oh, wow. Yeah. If we're going to take so spoilers, I checked their defense real quick. They all are going to stay at 1 dodge from here on out. But if you're going to take from their defense, give them a volley, lads.
Oh, my God. Get these 3 archers on 3 objectives within your home territory, within 3 hexes of each other, and just light up any invader. Like, it's not going to be good, but that's ideal for them.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
All right, and then on his inspired side, 4 move, stays at 1 dodge, cry. And his Grappo stays the same profile, just 2 swords. Each friendly shooter within 3 hexes, so give him a volley, lad, stays the same. It's an action. Interesting. So you can't charge and do this.
Oh, I see. Okay, so... Oh, and each friendly, so including oneself. Okay, so hopefully you'll have scurried into your positions, and then you'll activate one of them and activate all within 3, including self.
Yep. And looking through the other archers, and they're all the same. Good.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, that's easy then. Interesting. So they're all only gaining a movement speed.
Yeah.
Okay.
I am sad on the dodge, but I like what we're seeing here. Sour Tongue failing an attack to inspire is a big change. Just because it's going to be so, like, him being on 1 dodge to start.
He's going to be such a funny character.
It is.
You're going to run up and, like, are you going to be happy or sad when that 3 damage hits?
Yeah. So, like, you got to be very careful with damage profiles from the enemy. How likely are they to have a ping? If they don't have a damage 3 fighter right out the gate to come and try and bonk him to shut this. He's been a gatekeeper for the warband. You put him up front and, you know, they have 1 activation if they're to try and kill him. Otherwise, he's going to turn on and just be a menace on the no man's land. But yeah, like, you got to be very mindful if they have a 3 damage attack to charge over and kill him, or be very mindful, what's their ping capacity to cause 3 damage, then ping him to dead. The Grappo, I like that.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I like the archer volley mechanic. Scurry, got a big bonus there, and the Squig Herd action got a big bonus. So let's see what the objectives are, because now we're getting into the section of their deck that really needed the help.
Agree. All right. We got our head raptor on the fighters. Our first objective is Chomp, featuring one of the Squigs. So Surge, score this immediately after an enemy fighter is taken out of action by damage dealt by friendly Squig. They slap. So they're going to be the ones, generally doing the enemy killing in my mind. It's something I always feared.
This feels new. I don't recognize the art, and I don't think they had a comparable one in the past. This feels pretty easy. However, in my experience with Gits, nobody targets Drizzt first, as they should, because then the Squigs would inspire. So usually they kill the Squigs because that'll get them easy seed glory, and then they move on to the rest of them. So Squigs might be their first target, so Chomp might be harder to score because of that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Gits everywhere. I don't think this is the infestation art, but this feels infestation-y. Score this in an end phase if your warband holds each objective in your territory. When you score this, gain 2 additional glory points if your warband holds each objective in enemy territory, and or gain 1 additional glory point if your warband holds one or more objectives in no one's territory.
I love this. This is definitely the infestation replacement.
I love the versatility here. Incredible.
I
think I'm taking this every time.
Right. They've said everybody loves infestation. So why not make it core to their decks going forward?
Yeah. Get lost or get shanked, you lanky git.
Love it. Lurk Lair. This is a duel. Score this in an end phase if your warband holds 3 or more objectives, and one or more of those objectives is in no one's and or enemy territory. Ooh, for 2 glory. So we're doubling down on it.
Yep. Solid. Solid.
I mean, if you got both in hand and you score them, like with one in no... So that this one wants one in no one's territory or enemy territory. So you're meeting one of the requirements on the other card. You could be scoring this for, I guess you that's could not
get
necessary. 5
glory out of this and gets it.
Yeah.
Wow. Just with no man's and your own.
Yeah. Two cards, 6 points. If you can control 3 and all in enemy and your own.
Crazy. This is solid, and we're already, so previously in their deck, Infestation was the only hold card. Wild. So now we're already double that.
and a respectable offset to Glory of Bleed in these cards already.
Yes. The next card, Mad Scurry, direct name transport from previously. This is a 2 glory end phase still. If I remember correctly, I believe it was a 2 glory previously. Score this in an end phase if 5 or more friendly fighters each have 1 or more move and or charge tokens. With Mad Scurry being able to accumulate more than just one move token, that becomes very viable. It is an increase to 5 friendly fighters rather than 4 previously, if I remember correctly.
That you're going to be able to scurry somebody into another lineup to say like help form that lineup, and then to like that to not restrict this new lineup to then also scurry out.
Okay, so this it was still 5 surviving friendly fighters. Big changes here. Okay, so they're both 5 fighters, but previously it was surviving fighters. These could be dead.
No. So they just need to, they didn't need to include that word anymore because the core rules say dead fighters never count.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So 5 or more friendly fighters each have 1 or more move and or charge tokens. Previously, it did not include charge tokens. So this is great because you can start a scurry with the first fighter charging and then the rest scurry, move. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Malicious Kill. You want to take that?
Absolutely. Surge, score this immediately after an enemy fighter with two or more upgrades is taken out of action. Two glory.
This is...
it's a kill surge.
This is totally unchanged, and I didn't take it before.
Oh, okay. Okay. So this was around before.
Yep.
Oh, with two or, well, so two or more upgrades is taken out of action. So it can be by any means, though. Is this not good? This feels good. They just have to leave the board. Like, Ping can even get them out.
It's a different card pool entirely than previously before.
Sure.
So, like, you know, do they want to pair with Seismic Shock? Probably very much so, yes. But Seismic Shock doesn't necessarily have a bunch of ping.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, so it's interesting. It's not going to be early game score because you're actually, yes, you need your opponent.
That's the biggest problem.
To have seed glory.
And when these guys want three glory to inspire, that seed glory is key.
I see. Yeah, that makes sense.
So this seems new. Not so tall now. Surge, score this immediately after a fighter with the highest wounds characteristic or that is tied for the highest wounds characteristic on the battlefield is taken out of action. One glory. Looks like new art, and
that's tall order.
Yeah,
that's a kill surge. I'm leaving it home when I'm playing Nemesis.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice that it ties in case you go up against, I don't know, the most you're gonna a three fight. I don't
know. Well, it also helps with like wording from, so if you're fighting like Headcrackers, for example, there's four fighters with four wounds, right? As long as I don't improve one of their wound characteristics, then it doesn't matter which one you take out. So there is that. But still, I think I leave this most of the time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, obliterated.
Yep.
So Surge, score this immediately after an enemy fighter is taken out of action by damage dealt by a friendly snurk. Gain one additional glory if that snurk is inspired. What a clever way to do this. One glory out the gate. So, you know, offering you one if that three damage strike does the job. And then if he's inspired, still offering you that two for having to scatter your way through it.
I love this.
Wow, I wouldn't have expected this to see any adjustment, but given the adjustment they made to the fighter, like, this is like really incentivizing.
Yep.
I like it.
Excellent. Overwhelming gets. I feel like this is a new iteration, new title, but Surge, score this immediately after a friendly fighter successful attack action if that fighter was supported by two or more friendly fighters. Yep, this feels like a card they had before. Scragged. Enemy fighter was taken out of action while adjacent to three or more friendly fighters, so this has gotten better. Only needing two adjacent friendly fighters.
Yeah, and you can scurry straight into this.
Scurry is so much easier to do now.
Yeah, I think this will be a staple for them for sure.
But it's only a successful attack action instead of a kill. Previously, it was a kill. So, yeah, that's better all around. That's a strong contender in my book because it's asking for a successful attack action when you have two full supports. Like, that's so good.
Word. I don't mind a successful attack surge like this, especially since we've already seen, three kill surges?
Yeah, I feel like we've seen a lot of surges previously. Their deck only had 10 objectives and four of which were surges.
Yeah, and that's after Power Unbound helped them out with at least one of those.
Yeah.
All right. Squalid Lair. Score this in an end phase if there are no enemy fighters in your territory. If you score this in the third end phase, gain one additional glory point. One glory normally. So no enemy fighters in your territory. Oh, interesting. I don't hate this, but generally... I avoid stuff like this for me. Go ahead.
Yeah. So this was previously Dank Haven. Score this in a third end phase if there are no enemy fighters in your territory for two glory.
So I think
this is an improvement. I still don't know if it's good. I mean, if you're going to do passive seismic shock, hold objectives, camp in your territory. Yeah, this is good.
It's not the most reliable one pointer, right? No. And like, I feel like if I see Gets Across the Table, I'm going to assume that I'm going to be the invader. And so I think the Gets player is going to have a pretty hard time keeping me out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Next one is Stand Safe. Surge, score this immediately after your warband's third or subsequent range 3+ attack action in the same phase. Doesn't have to be successful.
Hold up.
That's so easy.
That arrow line will totally score this.
That's so easy.
This is cool.
Yeah, and he's got his wizard ability, or his own casting ability now. That's so easy. If you bring any ranged weapon upgrades as well, because there's all kinds of 3+ and 4+ range weapon upgrades in different decks now. This is so good.
The push-pull on this is so interesting, because like early game, if I'm aware that you could have this in your deck, like I might be hesitant about getting in and giving you free seed glory, because this would be really easy seed glory if I end up in a position where all three archers can just line up and ta-ta-ta-ta. But like as the game goes on and you start losing fighters, you still have a way to this card. I like it a lot.
Yeah. I think this is an auto take surge.
I think this is my favorite of their surges, period.
Because if they charge in to try and kill Snurk, and you just want to, like, before even moving on to objectives, you could just do the Grotbow attack and just unload on somebody, and you're going to score this whether or not you land anything.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right. Survival of the Gittest.
Fantastic.
What a name. Score this in an end phase if there are 5 or more surviving friendly fighters. If you score this in the third end phase, gain an additional glory point. 1 glory.
Wow. I like this a lot. Yeah, that's really good early. Yep. And it's very similar to its previous iteration. Call that a win. This was a third end phase. If there are 5 or more surviving friendly fighters, 2 glory only.
I really enjoy the switch in design lately,
yeah,
where we're not seeing strict third end phases. We're seeing, here's a card with a third end phase stretch goal. Yeah. I like that a lot.
Absolutely. You ain't safe. Score this in an end phase if 1 or more enemy fighters are each adjacent to 2 or more friendly fighters.
Huh. Nice little positional scoring. And probably pretty easy to secure anytime you're the second player.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's also going to be really good counterplay against something like Cold of the Void.
Yeah. Well, cool.
Yeah.
Before we move on to their power deck, that's their 12 shiny new objectives. How do you feel?
Thrilled. Yeah. There was just such a low bar previously that's not saying a whole lot. But yeah, I'm thrilled.
There's so much play in there now.
I only counted, what, 2, maybe 3 hold objective cards, though?
Like, I think 2. I think it was those first 2 that we were hot on that can get you, you know, 4 to 6 glory combined.
Yeah. Those I'm really big on, but they had some excellent surges as well, I'd say. Obliterated, still fun. It's a gamble, because if Snurk's dead, it's dead. But that ranged Stand Safe card, I think I'm always taking that. I'm happy to take a majority of their deck right now.
Yeah. I think the other surge that we're super hot on is just doing a successful attack when there's multiple supporting fighters.
Overwhelming Gets, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd be happy to take 6 or 7 of their faction objectives.
That feels good.
Yeah, which is a vast improvement over maybe Infestation. All right, so starting off with a spell, Curse of the Bad Moon. I recognize this card. I don't recognize what it used to do. Oh my god, it used to be a 2 focus. Bite of the Bad Moon instead of Curse of the Bad Moon. Okay, so Bite of the Bad Moon, the new version. Gambit spell, 1 focus. If cast, choose an enemy fighter and roll a number of dice equal to their defense characteristic. For each roll of a lightning or crit, deal 1 damage to the chosen fighter.
Huh. I don't hate this. This is kind of neat. Like the more defense you stack, the more punishing this can be.
We've been seeing some plus one defense cards.
Yeah. Man, and the chance to actually land the damage is really high if you can just get a cast.
66% on each die.
Yeah. Wow.
Previously, if the spell was cast, choose a hex within 4 hexes of the caster. Any fighter in that hex or any hex adjacent to it suffers 1 damage.
Well, there we go.
That is big. But this is a better card, I think. I think so too. I never took Curse of the Bad Moon. All right.
Well, let's chew it over. And by that, I mean our next card is Chew It Over. Choose a friendly fighter. Give the chosen fighter 1 guard token, then roll 1 magic dice. On a roll of crit or focus, draw 1 power card. On a roll of channel, stagger each fighter adjacent to the chosen fighter. Brian, I love this.
This is crazy because it doesn't even have to be Zarbag.
Everything about this card is great. Like, it's incredible. Yeah, we're getting a guard token, and then...
It's a 50-50.
Well, something's happening.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't think you're sad for either.
Yeah.
I love anytime you have to roll a magic dice if, whatever the result is, you're receiving something. Something's occurring.
Yeah. The only thing I'm like, how could I work this with Scurry? You can't use this to scurry towards somebody and then do it, but... You would also run the risk of staggering your own fighters. No, I love it.
Sure.
Oh, if Snurk is in a precarious situation where people are trying to get rid of him and you just drop this.
Well, you won't be able to. No. That's actually some clever bit of design here. The give the chosen fighter 1 guard token. You can't give a guard token to somebody who can't be on guard.
Well done, GW. You got me.
At least I think so.
And he gives him a guard token. That's so good.
Man, I might have to double check that, but on first read, I'm pretty sure that's how that works.
I think the squigs are best for this.
That's cool.
Because you're gonna do Drizzt Squig Herd ability, move the squigs up, because they're kind of your fodder. They can't hold objectives, so they mean a lot less to you as a Gets player. And if you're just you bomb 1 squig up in the middle and you drop this down, that's nice.
What is worth noting, though, you called this out, is you got to be careful with your own fighters. So, yes. Yeah, the squigs make a lot of sense.
Yep. Fungal Blessing, same title and art as before. Fungal Blessing reaction. Play this during an enemy fighter's attack action that targets a friendly fighter adjacent to the attacker. After the deal damage step, if the attacker would be taken out of action, deal 1 damage to the attacker. If the target would be taken out of action, do you want to? That's the same as before.
Gotcha.
So it's a retribution ping on killing one of your friendly fighters.
Would you run it?
I never did.
All right. Gang up. Sorry. Did you want to say a little more?
I mean, it's not terrible. Like, I would still consider it, but yeah.
Yeah. I think it's definitely fun in Rivals. It's going to be, you know, that like 11th, 12th card consideration in Nemesis.
That's usually where it was.
Yeah.
But normally I was just packing in so much push tech that it always lost out.
Yeah. And you know, we're coming from championship kits, right? Yep. So there was just so much more value you could pump into each slot.
Yeah. A lot more of this is considerable in Nemesis. And that's why they didn't make much of a splash in Nemesis, because their faction deck was awful.
Was rough. Absolutely. Yeah. So Gang Up is our next one here. +1 damage to the first range 1 attack action made by a friendly fighter in the next activation for each friendly supporting grot adjacent to the target. Hold up. Say again. Okay. So you can really flex somebody up on damage really quickly here.
Yeah. This was very similar. It's stab them in the knee in the previous one. That one notably was range 1 or 2, so only range 1 here. This was harder to do because Mad Scurry, or the Scurry reaction, was more difficult because usually starting hexes on a board are only ever 2 adjacent, so it was really hard to set up that kind of like massive dog pile. So you're only ever getting 1 or 2 damage out of this, and they're not exactly accurate unless you get either Zarbag or Drizgit inspired, or one of the squigs. But, you know, the three archers aren't coming with a, the three archers or prog now aren't coming with a ranged one. So it's literally segmented off from, four of the nine warbands, fighters in the warband.
Yeah.
You have to give them an attack action upgrade in order to utilize this.
Yeah. Otherwise you need Drizgit or,
Zarbag
to lead the charge anyways. Well, yeah. Snark too. If you want to capitalize on like a scurry along with it.
Yeah. But any of them, any of them are usually the supporting fighters anyways.
Sure. Another like cool thing I think to think about with this card is how much you can threaten somebody who's charged into you. So if I charge into you and then you spend your next turn scurrying 3-4 fighters adjacent to me, I'm in for a world of hurt next time you activate.
Yep. And just to note, Sour Tongue Snark, when he is uninspired, he has scurry. When he is inspired, he does not. That is.
Oh, he does have scurry?
He has scurry uninspired.
Oh, did he before?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's cool.
Next one, Gruesome Grimace. Choose a friendly fighter. The chosen fighter cannot be. Choose a friendly fighter. The chosen fighter cannot be the target of attack actions in the next activation.
Hmm. Oh, so wow. That's, I always love cards like this. You have, Soul Raid, man, come on. Why can't I think of the name of that card at the moment?
Cloud of Midnight.
Thank you. You have a Cloud of Midnight.
Yeah. Snark loves it.
I mean, Cloud of Midnight's the strongest version of that ability out there because it does more than a Guardian's attacks. But, this is really good. I always love cards like this.
Yeah, it's a good tool to have in the toolbox for consideration.
Word. All right. Jealous Hex. Gambit spell. One focus. If cast, choose an enemy fighter that has the highest wounds characteristic or that is tied for the highest wounds characteristic of each enemy fighter on the battlefield. Minus one wounds from the chosen fighter. This effect persists until the chosen fighter is out of action. Ooh. So interesting to see the highest wounds characteristic thing come up twice now.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like a baked in little theme. Goblins, I wonder if we'll see more of it.
Yeah, goblins do not like tall people.
Understood. This persisting until the chosen fighter is out of action is pretty nasty.
Always nice to turn off a great fortitude.
Yeah, and this is rangeless. So you just need to have line of sight.
That's really good if you're going to be pairing Seismic Shock.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Solid. Yep. I think you might just take this and run the risk of, like, I don't think there's another warband that won't have this unless you kill the, there's no other warband that's going to be lower than these guys.
No. This is generally going to be upside for you.
Yeah, this is only not going to be able to be cast if you still have to have line of sight. But this is not going to be able to be cast if you've killed all the viable targets and you only have their like pets or minions left.
Well, it's nice is it's of each enemy fighter on the battlefield. So it doesn't look at you and it doesn't care about any of their dead fighters. Yeah.
Oh.
And in this case, I think the other card didn't have an enemy stipulator.
I think this is great, especially pairing into a deck that is probably going to also be wanting to cast.
Agree. I mean, it's never going to be a bad thing. And I think it's fun from a balancing standpoint that that might not be the fighter you particularly care to get a minus one wound on at this stage. You know, like taking somebody down from 5-4 when you've got 3-4 fighters in your face, it's an interesting element of like who the target is going to be, but I think it's good. I think you take this a lot of the time.
Yeah, I think this is more of a change of the current card pool and the incentives to casting makes this card really good nowadays. Next we have Little Wah. This is same as before. Same art, same title, same basically text. It's Infection, Determined Effort, plus one dice to the first attack action made by a friendly fighter in a next activation.
I can see Snurk utilizing this quite a bit.
Yes. Yes, especially now. Yeah. All right. And then
that extra one move. It's so much.
It does. Yeah, it does.
All right. Make some noise. Choose up to two friendly squigs. Push each chosen fighter up to two hexes. Restricted squig. So I believe this card existed before. Correct me if I'm wrong.
There it is. Yep.
Yep. And if it did the same in function as before, it has gotten better simply by the fact that it can be salvaged.
Yep.
I like it a lot.
Yep. It's a subtle, nice change. Cool. And then Sneaky Step. This was the one ploy card that I always took in faction sidestep. Choose a friendly fighter, push a chosen fighter one hex. No change here. It's just always good to have one in faction because previously sidestep wasn't in the essentials pack and it's not going to be available in Nemesis. So nice to have.
Agree. Well, yeah, the essentials pack wasn't out when we started.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I see what you're saying. All right.
Yeah, but like, cause sidestep was something that they had to reprint each
again
season.
And again. Yeah.
Yep.
I miss it. I do. I wish I could just slot it into every Nemesis pairing.
I don't miss them having to reprint cards each, like that, having to have a great strength, great fortitude, sidestep reprinted each season. Just kind of like made redundant portions of your card pool.
Agree.
Having the essentials pack, I think, is great, but Nemesis, I think, has been better.
Yeah,
on the whole,
that's a rabbit hole. But I would agree. I'm loving what Nemesis is doing to everything Underworlds. So, all right. Spore Blade Sting. Choose an enemy fighter adjacent to one or more friendly fighters. Minus one dice from the chosen fighter's attack actions to a minimum of one, and minus one defense from the chosen fighter to a minimum of one. This effect persists until the chosen fighter makes a failed attack action. Okay, hold on. I need to take a look at this. Okay, I see.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah, so the only caveat from the friendly fighter side is that they have to be adjacent when they choose this target. And then you shake it off once you fail. So either you succeed and you're happy, or you fail and at least you shake this off.
Yeah, you've either crippled an attack and it fails, but like they stay an easy target for the minus one dice.
Yeah, the minus one defense dice here, I think, is the biggest part of it, because it's going to incentivize me to like make that attack and potentially fail that attack just to get my defense back up.
Does this include spell attack actions?
It would. I don't see a range limitation here.
Dope. I think that's, I don't know if it's it every time, but it's really good tool.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially and with it, Scurry baked in as a main mechanic for them.
At the very least, they need all the defense they can get with only having one dodge. So.
Well, so you're saying bringing the enemy's defense down.
No, the gits need as much defense as possible and minusing their dice from their attack actions. If you throw this on their Voltron,
I see what you're saying.
You know, if luckily we're seeing less and less like four dice, like we don't see Curse Boarding Pike. So usually a fighter typically is rolling three or two dice, and this will be really big against that.
Word. Well, that wraps up the gambits. So we had, what was the breakdown there? Three spells or two? Two spells and eight ploys.
Yeah, I think both of the spells were pretty good too. Especially I'm really looking at Seismic Shock just because I'm inclined to the hold objective there.
Yeah, and you've got one wizard to help with the hold objective or that, you know, supremacy. Caveat within Seismic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a wizard supremacy.
Well, onto upgrades.
Yep. Moving on, Doug in there. This looks like mass volleys that they previously had for the art, but this card now says restricted to a shooter. This fighter is on guard while they are within two hexes of another friendly shooter.
It's modest. You're only on guard on one dice. So from a defensive standpoint, it's not always going to save your bacon, but if nothing else, you're not going to be driven back on ties.
It's also going from one dodge to including shields. So, I mean, that's the ideal metric for going on guard. I don't think it's great, but yeah, this was the old volley collar art. Not every time, but your most forward grot would love this. Like your most forward grot archer would love this.
Yeah. I think you're going to find room for replacement in a nemesis pairing. Maybe I'm wrong, but in rivals, it's nice to see.
Yep.
All right. Fiery Brand. This fighter's range one attack actions have Grievous one restricted to Drizgit. So I'm going to jump in here because I'm reading range one attack actions have Grievous one. And I'm like, I don't know if that really is going to do much in this warband. But seeing restricted to Drizgit, anytime the restriction is to one fighter, it elevates the card for me. And who's Drizgit? Drizgit's somebody who, if you can elevate that threat of Drizgit, you're going to make that decision of, shoot, do I take him down and let the squigs inspire, or do I really have to work through the squigs and let this guy continue to threaten me a little harder?
So back in my day, this is no change from before, and I never brought it once I started learning how the game was played, especially because of the restricted. Salvage definitely helps it. He's great on his inspired side because he's rolling three hammers for two damage, so potentially going up to three damage. But I don't think you bother taking something like this when you need. No.
I love this. I think you take it because at worst, it's draw a card. At best, you're throwing three dice and getting extra damage out.
I mean, I'd have to have nine solid cards and no 11th card.
All right. I'd take this over the last upgrade so far.
I'm always, especially with their lack of two defense, I'm going to take as much defense as possible, second only to push tech.
All right. Fair is fair. What do we got next?
Leashed Sprite. Previously, this was kind of like a stretch goal for a glory. It used to be Sniffer Spite, but as it currently is, in an end phase, if this fighter is holding an objective, roll one magic dice. On a lightning or crit, gain one glory point, then break this card. So, similar to before, previously it was restricted to Zarbag. If this fighter is in enemy territory in the third end phase, gain one glory point.
This is a different
better
now.
And it can go off in any of the rounds, and it can be put on any of the gets. I think this is great.
So, but it's only got a chance to get you the glory. That's the trade-off.
But it only breaks when it's successful. It's a 66% chance. 66% of the time, it works every time.
I think this is really fun. I think we're going to see it a lot, though, regardless of the fact that it might not go off. Yeah.
Like if you're gonna take Daylight Robbery, you want this.
Agree.
All right.
Next up is Overconfidence. Plus one dice to this fighter's attack actions, minus one defense to a minimum of one, no restrictions. So notably, no range restriction here.
Yep.
Actually, this is great because you can just give this to anybody who is going to be sitting on one defense anyways.
You give it to the four gets. You don't give it to any of the squigs, Drizgit, certainly not Snurk, and certainly not Zarbag.
Well, yeah, you're never going to give it to Zarbag or Snurk, but Drizgit, like, if you don't have any way to up his defense value, why not?
He stays on one block, so yeah, Drizgit does love this. Okay, so it's the three archers, Prague or Drizgit, love this.
Yeah, I think commonly you'll see it on the ranged fighters to give them a little boost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nope, this is good. Ravenous, plus one damage to this fighter's range one attack actions, restricted to squigs. no changes as far as I can remember. I think the restriction is new, which makes it better.
Agree. Yeah. I think this will be a pretty common take.
It was previously restricted to Gobbleck and Bonecracker, so literally no change here.
Just with the formalization of turning it into salvage fuel.
Yeah, again, you kind of run into the dynamic of most people target the squigs first because they fear their inspired side. This could double down on that, just as Fiery Brand could double down on them. So you take Ravenous if you think they're going to go after Drizgt first, which they absolutely should not. And you'll take Fiery Brand if you think they're going to go after the squigs first, which they should.
Yeah, I think if you've got room for one, you take Ravenous because it's got the most versatility and, you know, the fact that it can be on either of them when you need it. Yep. But I think there's room for both, because if they go for Drizgt, it doesn't matter which one they go for, right? When the other card comes up.
You're thinking of a more of a missile build where Drizgt and the squigs are sitting further back in deployment because you're going to need to put those archers forward.
I just don't mind free draw. I'm just like, so you're telling me that if they're dead, I get a free draw, and if they're alive, I can do more damage? Yes, please.
It all depends on what is available for push tech, like upgrades, because that's always going to be my first focus.
All right. Am I up? I think I'm up. Let's do Sharp Sticker. Attack action. So this is a range 2, 3 fury, 1 damage profile with a ability tied straight to the attack called Wicked. So Wicked is this attack action has Grievous X, where X is the number of friendly supporting fighters. Whoa.
All right.
So they're double downing on that Gambit that's accomplishing the same without Grievous, right? But this is an attack action that sticks around and can continue to threaten that.
Dog, stack this with Overconfidence for an extra dice on this attack.
Wow.
That could be cool. Wicked. That could be Wicked.
Wicked's a good ability name here. It now, can be absolutely that.
The previous iteration was also kind of interesting. It was range 1, 2 hammers, 2 damage. This attack action is plus 2 dice if a friendly prog is supporting this fighter.
It had more to do with prog before. Okay.
Yeah, it was crazy accurate, but I think this is overall better. It can go on any of them. You can put it on. It opens you up to range 1, range 2 attack actions on the 4 range 3 gets. It's interesting. There's a lot of scurry aggro potential here.
Yeah, this is dead sharp.
That's fun. All right. Keep trying to look at the previous cards simultaneously. It's holding me up a little bit, but Sneakiest Sneak. Fantastic. Upgrade Sneak Action. Remove this fighter from the battlefield. Place this fighter on an empty edge hex. Give this fighter 1 move token, then break this card. Restricted to a Grot.
I'm not sure when you use this.
Yeah. Mainly the biggest detriment here is the lack of putting objectives on edge hexes.
Yeah, that's where my head went. Like if this was how would you word that? Like within 2 of an edge or within 1 of an edge hex? Like to allow you to maybe even put you into an empty edge hex, push 1. Then get the move token. Like this card would be huge. I could see a strong argument to take this, but I'm not sure how often you need an ability like this, especially at the cost of your action economy.
I mean, if you got gets everywhere and you need to hold an objective in enemy territory that's way at the back with their little diminutive moves.
Sure. It's
not terrible.
Yeah, I guess then you're relying on some
options.
Yeah, I guess you're relying on a combo then, right? Like, because you're going to have to spend this action to get that distance. And it's only a move, but, like, you probably don't want to have to spend 2 actions to do it.
But with a sidestep. You know what I'm feeling?
Yeah, what's up?
Pair gets with all their scurry shenanigans and moving with Void Curse Thralls.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's dangerous. That's asking to have fighters with range 3 that no longer offer you anything.
I mean, Drizgt don't care.
You have 4 fighters that don't care?
Drizgt and the Squigs.
Zarbek cares a bit.
Zarbek cares. He cares a lot because he's the caster and he's also got a range 3.
Yeah.
But Drizgt and the 2 Squigs.
The Squigs get extra defense, though, which is now rarer.
Yeah, but like I said, normally they're kind of an early target because they're on 1 dodge to start. So you make one of them your first Void Cursed.
Oh, sure.
But I'm loving the idea of parking this guy in enemy territory and then you slap one of the refashioned upgrades on him. The sneakiest sneak with refashioned priorities.
Yeah, all right. Well,
is it priorities that seeing gets the you build? On your token?
Yeah, priorities is 2 a token. Reactions is 2 adjacency to a fighter.
Gotcha. Yeah. Just as interesting, they used the art from Grizzled Survivor here, which was +1 defense to Drizgt. Just an interesting changeup from the previous card's iteration.
Drizgt would be the least sneakiest fighter. Like only second to Snurk, if you asked me.
Yeah, I suppose he's the clangy armor. All right.
So you
had that one, or is this one mine?
I think you read Sneaky Sneak.
Okay. Yes.
So yes. I'm up for Sneaky Shuffler. So mm-hmm. We both get to be sneaky. Roles of double support are considered to be successes in this fighter's defense roles. And then it comes with a reaction named Shuffle. Use this in the last reaction step of the round. Push this fighter 1 hex. Restricted to Prague and Shootas. I know you like this.
Yep, this is an infection. Quickening Greaves.
Yeah, yep. with a little bit of defense boost.
Yeah, screw the initial, but I mean, the initial's nice. I'll take it, but the shuffle, incredible. I'm taking this all the time. Anytime you're holding objective, take it.
Word.
Love it. Squinty Glarin, restricted to Zarbag. Other friendly fighters can make the scurry reaction even if they have 1 or more charge tokens and or 2 more move tokens.
What?
No range restriction. It's just you got to have Zarbag alive and they can do so much more mobility.
Fascinating. Oh, so
interesting.
Wait, did we? At least I had a misunderstanding about Zarbag at the beginning. I'm just going back to Scurry here. If this fighter has 1 or fewer move tokens and no charge tokens, mm-hmm. my brain had wrapped the move and charge tokens into a 1 or fewer together there.
Yeah.
I still love it because of the fact that you can have people that have scurried, re-scurry and all that jazz. But this really does elevate it.
I think this is amazing if you're doing scurry aggro.
Oh, for sure. Like a weapon build.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is really cool. I'm so glad this is in the toolkit.
That's so cool. And it's a change from the previous iteration that was basically giving Zarbag his ranged magic attack. So this is so much more fascinating.
Agree. All right. The last card is Very Hungry. +1 move, restricted Squig. Do you want faster Squigs?
So extra bouncy previously was the fly for the Squigs. It was an upgrade. They have fly in their fighter cards now. So they just changed extra bouncy to +1 move to a Squig.
Man, the flying thing I think is going to be a big deal because you don't really have to worry about tripping over your own 9 fighter warband.
Yep. No, I love the fly. Extra bouncy was something that you might consider sometimes, but having fly in their profile is amazing. Love it. Bouncy Squigs. Oh, great. +1 move, I'm a lot less interested in.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty basic as far as upgrades go. not one to blow our hair off for the final card here. That was the one before it.
If you're going aggro, though, I could see, like, again, Scurry, aggro, Tooth and Claw, potentially, like, just really leaning into the squigs. You have a squig that might be far out and suddenly get them in.
Yeah.
Overall, I really love this. They have some really fun stuff. Upgrades, there's either, like, Sneaky is interesting. Sneaky Shuffler, amazing. Squinty Glaren, amazing. Leashed Spite, extra glory, love it.
So I'm gonna
say
do...
that they got like three cards that are restricted to fighters that you seem mainly interested in from a like, yeah, I can salvage this, yay.
Well, so it's I'm not gonna take a card just because it'll salvage, but if I'm on the fence on a card and it offers salvage, that can really elevate it for me. And with those upgrades where like it's like, hey, if I'm alive, like extra damage, and if I'm dead, draw a card. Yeah, like I love that sort of lever when I'm deck building.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna do what Davey did to me during Thorns, but throwing it your way. If you could pick one favorite thing in this new build here, could be anything. Could be art. Could be some facet of them or a specific card. What's standing out to you?
It's just the change to Scurry. It's what they were known for before. Like, it's what makes them able to grab onto objectives and weather the storm of getting killed. It's just better now. It's not massively exciting, but it's massively impactful.
Yeah. And as with the Thorns, since that's the other live react I've been on, I feel like their identity is wholly intact here. It's realized once again and elevated with this new build.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love how these warbands like feel so refreshed. I don't feel alienated.
Yeah. No, I was my biggest concern with the Rivals of the Mirrored City was that there would be a light touch. I was concerned that we might see minor changes like we saw with the Condemners, Iron Souls Condemners in one of the starter boxes. But instead, they got total refreshes. Their identities feel very intact so far from what I've seen. I haven't seen Thorns. I haven't seen... just Thorns. Their identities feel intact. They feel like improvements, not like a, oh, we don't want to, we're tired of seeing this warband. Like, I didn't feel like any of them got done dirty for past sins.
I would agree. And I think the change to Snurk is probably the most like reigning a previous element in, but I don't think it's entirely unjustified either.
Right.
Like he could be like an absolute game changing menace previously. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I like so much.
Yeah, hitting his starting point is not the worst thing.
Yeah, the Grot Bow volley is also a really fun change.
Agree. Yeah. This is, I'm so excited to see what you toss together and start playing against these again. It's going to be a delight. I know you've lamented, you know, like, I keep wanting to go back to Gitz, and then I look at, you know, their deck again and try to imagine a Nemesis pairing, and they're on such a rough starting point to pair into anything.
And just like off the cuff when we were talking about this, you don't like we there's so many ways to go. Like I think I'm most inclined towards the hold objective of my Ages Past with Seismic Shock, just bring in a lot of glory to counteract the bleed.
Do you think you'll play around with Passive Prophecy? Not a fan.
I'll leave that to like Alex. He seems to be really hot on paths.
I think that's actually going to pair really well with the Thorns. By the way,
it just doesn't bring enough glory to like offset the bleed, especially with these guys compared to some of the other stuff.
Yeah. Well, with Scurry, how do you feel about going for flexible Fearsome Fortress one where you're trying to hold as many tokens in the towards the center as possible. Are you too fragile, you know, that sort of a build?
Does Conquer Domain require?
Thank you.
Conquer Domain could be really strong with the squigs.
Yeah, that could be cool.
Because you could just launch into No Man's Land with Drizkt and the two squigs, and you've already got potentially three Conquer Domain holders right there. Because it only requires that they be on feature tokens, not holding objectives.
Correct. Yep.
It's worth exploring. Yeah, Seismic Shock considerations, Fearsome Fortress. I think Void Crystals would be really risky, but also potentially really wild with all the movement shenanigans. That's going to be the highest player skill challenge, I think. And then you could also just go like aggro scurry builds. I don't think Breakneck Slaughter would be good because you're potentially going to do a ton of bonking around. And
I think you could bring masks with him.
I feel like there's a lot of potential here. They got so many good tools.
Excited. Do you have any other like highlights as you're thinking about this that you want to tackle on our way out?
No, and I'm not lamenting anything. I'm like, no, they took away. The dodge is big. the two dodge is big, but I feel like those guys just become further sitting in the back. So I think what they're doing is they're rewarding somebody for diving into the kits and gunning for those guys sitting in the back on the objective.
They're also giving you an opportunity to punish them with that grok reaction.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's phenomenal. Well, I think that's it for us. You can find us at What the Hex Cast on all the social medias, whatthehexcast@gmail.com to send us questions or comments. Easiest to find us on the Discords for the Mortal Realms Podcast Network, and where we have the What the Hex channels. Check it out. It's always booming. There's new people added, seems like every week. It's awesome. Check out all of our content at themortalrealms.com. We're special thanks to the Mortal Realms for letting us be a part of their network and overall collaborative team. Coming up, we're still doing this deluge of new content. So we're going to have stuff streaming at you. We're expecting, you know, potentially next thing we're going to hear about is at Adepticon, but until then, we got plenty of stuff to play with. Flavatext.
Oh, can I snipe this? I'd love to offer you a flavor text here.
How dare you? Okay.
So this is unattributed. Not so much killed as struck entirely from the records of mortality itself. Yeah, it's obliterated.
I love that quote, but it was a little too obvious. So instead... Still calling it a win, lads.
Still calling it a win, lads. Okay, so is this the one where you have five or more fighters left?
Correct.
Okay. Now, if I could only remember the name of it.
Yes, Survival of the Giddest.
Perfect. Perfect. How could I forget that name?
Now, if you could help me out, can you snipe a recommended listening for us?
I'm so glad you asked, because this is Your New Bad Habit by Adam Jensen.
Wow. Okay.
That's your recommended listening for today. Enjoy the rest of the week of Warhammer Underworlds.
And that'll do it for us. Thanks for joining and thanks for listening. Please leave us a rating or review if you'd like. And I've been your host, Brian.
And I've been Skylar.
Oh. How is that true? No, hang on. Yeah.
Are you
somehow
still there?
Somehow I got muted there. I don't know if I hit a keyboard. Did you hear anything?
Nope.
All right. Weird editing issue there.
editing
pause here while we scramble to find what would be. All right. This will be fun for the editor.
Are we going to do Who Let the Dogs Out?
Oh, no. anytime chosen axes are done, it needs to be diggy diggy hole.
Oh, 100%. Yep, yep. You think we would have had something.
All right, I'm going to throw out another option and we'll let the editor's pit choice. So I think I found something. So we're going to go with your recommended listening for this week is For the Swarm by Avatar. You're welcome, Alex.
Excellent.